We thank you for your presence in this place, dear God. We realize, dear Lord, that you desire to speak to your people. Lord, your people are here. God, a remnant of your people are in this place, Lord, and they want to hear what you are saying today. And I ask, dear God, that you might grant unto us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Ears to be able to grasp those things that come from the Spirit of God. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has been sent to lead us into all truth. We can count on the Holy Spirit in helping us stay on track in the Word of God. Father, thank you for the things of the Spirit being released in this place this morning. And we do declare, dear God, that we want to be a part of your people that you are seeking after, those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. We praise you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus to hear what the Spirit is saying to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. I just appreciate so much our worship team and everybody else that does so much in our church family. I've said this before. I remember years ago when we were starting out. Actually, we were in the, I think it was called the Wandlin Motel then. And man, I used to have to get there early enough to set up the worship team. Set up the amplifiers and lug stuff out and put it all out and get some CDs ready for worship. And it seemed I had to do everything at that time. And I'll tell you, when people started picking up and doing their stuff, it was an awesome blessing to me. And I just thank God that we've moved from that. And that there's so many people who put so much into what God is doing in this place. And I appreciate every single one who has did some things in the natural to create an environment so the Spirit of God would be able to minister to us in a powerful and unique way. I want to share with you a few things this morning. There's quite a number of things on my heart, actually. But one of the things I constantly want to bring us into remembrance or to remind us that we're a spiritual people. You know, we're spiritual beings, first and foremost. We are people who have been born after the image and likeness of God. God breathed into us the breath of life. The Bible tells us that. So what we are living in today, these tents, these physical vessels, these are just merely earth suits that we live in. We a spirit is not really allowed to live on the earth without having an earth suit. You know, you can't go into space without having a space suit on. You can't survive. Well, spirit beings are not to survive without having an earth suit. And this flesh that we walk in, these are our earth suits. But really, we're spiritual beings living within earth suits. And so if we read the scriptures with that in mind, it'll get us a better context of the things that we are to enjoy. And so the real things that the things that mean the most in life are going to have to come from the spirit realm because we're spirit beings. We have a soul and we live in a body. Now, really, you know, that we're made up spirit, soul, and body, but the spirit is the part of us that's supposed to give direction to everything else. Because it is with the Spirit that we make contact with God. And the Bible says that when God breathed in man the breath of life, man became a living being. Well, it was that breath of life that was breathed into man that causes him to be able to be who he is, the real you. And one day, when this is all over, or when this physical temple, in my case, when this physical temple comes to the place where it's no longer able to house my spirit will slip out of my body like you would taking off an old slipper. It'll just slip out of your body, and it'll go to be with Jesus if you've called upon him for redemption. If we've called upon Jesus to wash away our sins. Otherwise, we'll go to a place that we don't even want to think about. It's so terrible that we don't even want to think about. But you and I are spiritual beings. And so we have to expect supernatural events to take place in our lives. Expect God to move in our lives. Expect God to do things that we can't do for ourselves. Expect God to transform us into the image of Jesus. Now, that's quite a miracle. I mean, he started the process when we got born again. But when we start, when God transforms us into the image of Jesus, or even when we pray, God, I present myself before you, transform me into the image of Jesus, we are asking for a supernatural event to take place. And if we are not praying that, that is not on our heart to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, then we are really not concerned about being worthy kingdoms, or pardon me, participants of the kingdom of God. We are not really concerned about being kingdom citizens if we are not asking God to transform us continually. And one of the main things that we have to believe if we're going to be transformed is what God says about us. We can't believe what the world says about us. We're going to have to believe what God says about us. And I will talk to you about that just a little bit this morning in the Word of the Lord. In Mark chapter 13, verse 22, the Bible talks about a time when there'll be many false Christs and false prophets that'll come in the land. And Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive," everybody say deceive, "if possible, even the elect." Now, this scripture really speaks to us about a terrible deception that's coming upon the earth, that the enemy is going to put all kinds of deceptions that is going to confuse a lot of people. And he's going to, really his main focus is to deceive the body of Christ, deceive you and I, because he's already got the world within his clutches. But he wants to deceive us so that he can devour us. Remember, the scripture says that the enemy goes about like a roaring lion looking whom he may devour. Well, he has got to deceive the body of Christ. If he wants to devour them, he's got to deceive them into receiving him or allowing him to have influence in their lives. So in Psalm 14:1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. One of the words for fool here in Hebrew is, I'm just going to spell what I got here, P-E-S-I. Its literal meaning is one who is seduced. One who is seduced. So anybody that we run into, an atheist or anybody else that does not believe that there is a God, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Not only is he a fool, but he's badly deceived. He is really seduced by the enemy into believing that there is no God. So seduction has come upon him. When you see somebody, know somebody who doesn't believe in God, you know that they are a seduced person. Who seduced them? The enemy, into believing that there is no God. Now, notice this. Jesus said that there'll be many false Christs, many false prophets. They'll show many signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. I like that word, if. Now, it seems to indicate to me that it's not possible to deceive the elect. But if it were possible to deceive the elect, the enemy is so good at it, he would have been able to make it happen if God didn't intervene in the process. But because you and I are called the elect of God, God's supernatural power will help us to remain with him, not in deception. Glory to God. And so I want us to look a little bit about on that word this morning about how God has called us the elect. There's a number of things that's mentioned in the scripture concerning the elect. Mark chapter 13, 27, Jesus said, "And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the furthest part of the earth to the furthest part of the heaven." The angels are, when this is all over, the angels are going to go out and gather in the elect. Well, who are the elect? I believe they're the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the called out ones, the ones that God has set his hand upon. And angelic forces are going to go in and gather them all in. Remember, the Word of God tells us that the angels are going to go out and bring the harvest in. Well, we are part of that harvest. We are part of the elect that God is talking about. There's many things that he says about the elect. In Luke chapter 18, 7, it said, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? In other words, the elect God listens to. The elect God hears. The elect God desires to bring close to him. The elect God wants to have fellowship with. The called out ones. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" I love that scripture. I look at God and I think, Lord, you have called me. You have called me out. You've set your hand upon me. I'm a part of the elect. So who's going to speak against me? Who is going to be able to come against me if you are with me? Now, let me just read to you what elect person, what that word elect means. It means a picked out one. It means a chosen one. It means one who is chosen by God. Hallelujah. You know, God chose you. God chose you. He picked you out of the darkness of this world and he chose you. And he brought you into the kingdom of God. You're a chosen one. You're the elect of God. God has wrapped his hands around you and wants to bring you close to him. The word elect means a choice one, a select one, the best of its kind or class. Excellence. It means preeminence. You know, when this old world is all said and done, and even when we go into the millennium reign that's spoken about, where Jesus will reign for 1,000 years upon the earth, there's going to be elect ones. And there'll be ones that are outside, really, of God at that time upon the earth. If you read the book of Revelation, it's very clear that not everybody is going to be believing in God during that time. But the elect of God will have special place in that kingdom. The elect of God will have special positions in the kingdom, and he has called you and I as elect. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's something that we can praise God about. We never have to be in a place where we think that there's no way out of our situation or our trouble that we're in, because God is with us. And if he is with us, who can be against us? Now, God has called you as an elect individual. I want us to think just a little bit now about back in the book of Genesis, when God spoke to Abraham and called him out of the land of Ur and brought him in to the promised land, into the land of Canaan, the land that he wanted to give to him. And one of the things in the process of transforming Abraham to be the father of many nations was that God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And the name Abraham means a father of many nations, or a father of multitudes, a father of many nations. In other words, God was saying, I want to take you out now, and I'm going to transform you, and I'm going to make many nations come from your very roots of your being. And in order to do that, I'm going to change your name so that when people call after you, Abraham, Abraham, they're actually going to be saying, father of multitude, father of many nations, come here, I need to talk to you. Every time that somebody called him Abraham, it was confirming or causing Abraham to be alert to the fact that God called him out and called him to be the father of many nations. He declared that over him. And God is declaring over us today that we are the elect. And we dare not call ourselves something other than what God calls us. In other words, we cannot go around saying, when we're having a real down, depressed day, that we cannot go around saying, thinking just because we may feel this way, we cannot go around saying, well, I cannot accomplish anything. Nobody seems to be on my side. I seem to have to do everything myself. I don't seem to have any encouragement, or kind of get down on ourselves. We don't have a right to do that because God has called us the elect. Amen. God has said that we are the chosen ones, that we are with him, and he wants us to agree with him. In other words, he wants us to agree that we're called, we're chosen, we've been set aside by him, that we are holy before him because he has his hand upon us. If we'll agree with him, we'll begin to see the manifestation of those promises come in our lives. But if we just go around saying all the time that, you know, my father was poor, his grandfather was poor, I'm poor, I guess my children will be poor. And if we take on that attitude and confess that, guess what? We'll all be poor. But if we realize that we are a called out people and that God is transforming us, now all of us are in different places when it comes to the transformation process. You know, some of us are just starting the process. Others are a little farther down the line, but we are all on the journey and we are being transformed, and we cannot even suggest to look upon where we're at today to have any indication of where we're going to be tomorrow. In other words, we have to look to the Word of God to see where God is taking us rather than looking at our past. Many times people try to indicate, or let me put it another way, many times people predict and prophesy their future by looking at their past. And what has happened in the past becomes real for their future. In other words, if their past was bad, was wrong, was difficult, was you know, full of trials, and you just take on that and you keep focusing on that, you'll bring that past right into your future, and the future will be full of trials and terrible situations as well. But if you look to the Word of God, look to the Word of God and what God says about your future. What did He say about the body of Christ? What did He say about you and I? He says, I have a hope for you. I have a future for you. I have a charge to bless you. It's my desire to pour out blessing upon you. And if we hold that before our eyes, just the same way as Abraham held his name before his eyes.